there. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek, and I've been waiting for you. Thanks so much for stopping by. This week, we are going to look at the Mass readings for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I'm going to call this show Life-Giving Fruit, Life-Giving Food. Basically, what we have here is a continuation of last Sunday's program when we looked at Jesus setting up this concept of himself as the bread of life. So the Mass readings really continue on to support that message, reminding us that we need Jesus. We absolutely need him. We cannot get by in this life without Jesus Christ. And primarily, he makes himself available to us in the Eucharist. In other words, Holy Communion really does matter. And I know as a cradle Catholic, I've heard this all my life. I heard it in school. My parents believed it. But it was sort of an implied belief that Holy Communion is important. But there have been times in my life that I would absolutely have to say, and I never fell away from going to church. I always would go every Sunday. I would always receive Jesus. But there were times where I definitely didn't believe that I absolutely needed Jesus in the Eucharist to survive. And, you know, that's a tough concept to wrap your brain around, because we have people, and you may have been in that situation, you may be in that situation now, where you were not receiving Jesus on a regular basis, and somehow you didn't die, right? So there's that tricky explanation that's necessary in order to say, well, you need the bread of life, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharist to live. We need to be able to support that some way, because a lot of people are going to look at that message and say, no, that's not true. And we'll get more into it during the show, but I absolutely believe it. It is critical that we receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharist as often as possible. Otherwise, we're not really living the life he wants us to live. And it will not be possible for us to make it to eternal life in heaven without the Eucharist. And again, this gets into the whole question. It brings up the whole question of, well, some people don't believe. They're not Catholic. They don't believe in the Eucharist. Is it impossible for them to get to heaven? When, just briefly, the church teaches, no, that's not true. It is possible. But it's only if they don't know the value of the Eucharist. And the assumption is that if they did believe that the Eucharist was necessary for salvation, they would receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Now, the important thing to remember about that is that doesn't get you and I off the hook. We need to go out and make sure people understand the truth as we believe it, that Jesus Christ is available body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, and he's necessary for eternal life. That's up to you and I, people who believe it, to get the message out there. But, you know, I don't want to get too deep on this show. I just want to go with the readings and really hope that through the help of the Holy Spirit on this program, we will all, including myself, come out with a better appreciation of the value of the Eucharist and how necessary it is to receive Jesus. So with that in mind, I talked way too much. I don't normally talk this much before the prayer, but I was kind of on a roll. With that in mind, let's do our opening prayer. Let's talk to our Father in heaven as we begin the show officially. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, first of all, I just want to acknowledge your presence among us. I know, Father, that you can hear our words right now. I know you can see us. I know, Father, that you love us. And I also know and believe that you are bigger than any problem or challenge that we could ever face in this life. Father, I give you thanks for creating us. I give you thanks for sending us Jesus to be born into this world, to suffer, to die, to be buried, and to rise from the dead, and to make himself available to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist. I also thank you, Father, for sending us your Holy Spirit. And I ask you this day to pour out your Holy Spirit upon me so that I can deliver the message you would like me to deliver. and then upon each of us, so that our hearts and minds would be opened to hearing you speak through these scriptures we're going to look at during the program. Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and who is our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm really grateful, as I said at the start, to have you aboard. Whether you're listening to the program through various podcast services or via one of the many Catholic radio stations across the country who carries the show, I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you listening. I'm thank you for your financial support of my ministry, and I thank you for your prayers. It means a lot to me. And if you want to find out more about my work, please go to my website, followingthetruth.com. I also want to make you aware of the fact that my Advent book is now available. It's called Find Peace in Advent. And I know we've got a few months to go. It's not time for Advent yet, but I want to make you aware of it so that you can pick up your copy. Now, right now, you can find it on Amazon.com at Ave Maria Press, their official website, and other online stores, I'm sure, have it as well. I will put a link to it on my website at some point in time. I've been really busy and just haven't had a chance to do that. But the book is available. So if you want to get it, just search for Find Peace in Advent by Gary Zimek, Z-I-M-A-K, and you should be able to find it and get yourself a copy. And don't worry, we're going to talk more about it as we get closer to Advent. I really want to get into this book. It is a daily devotional for the Advent season. Didn't see that cough coming. I'm sorry about that. But followingthetruth.com is my website. You can find out about all of my books. You can find out about my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And you can also find out more about my speaking work. It is limited now. I'm not traveling as I used to because of my wife's illness. But for the time being, I am speaking locally. I live in the Philadelphia, South Jersey area. So anywhere that I can get home at night, I'd be happy to speak at your parish or your conference. All right, let's say we prayed. I gave you the information. Let's get right into the readings now. And again, this is a continuation from last week's readings and primarily the gospel. The gospel really drives the ship here. The gospel is what leads the way each week. We are proceeding sequentially through John's gospel right now. We're on John chapter 6, which is an important chapter. This is where you're going to hear Jesus talk about the Eucharist. This is called, commonly, this is called the Bread of Life Discourse. And that's where we are right now. We're going to read the gospel, and we're going to look at all the other readings. And as I said at the beginning, my goal is for us all to come away from this program by looking at these readings with a greater appreciation for Jesus in the Eucharist. You know, not that it's a nice to have, but it's a must have. And I think we could all stand to get a little better with that. I know I can. So with that in mind, we'll look at the gospel. We'll do the gospel first, as I always do. We begin this week in chapter 6 of John's gospel, beginning in verse 51, and we'll go through verse 58. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." I'm just going to pause here and try to place this in context. You have to remember, the people hearing this for the first time were absolutely scandalized by this message. The idea of eating the flesh of Jesus as he is standing there speaking to them, it's unheard of. And they're troubled. I mean, you talk about having faith to believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. Can you imagine, before the idea of him coming to us in the form of bread and wine, coming to us in that form, before that was accepted? You know, you and I look at it now and say, yes, we know. You know, no matter how weak our belief might be, we understand the concept, at least, of Jesus being present in what appears to be bread and what appears to be wine. Of course, those substances are completely transformed into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. But at least it's not foreign to us. But if I were to tell you that, by the way, you're going to be able to receive me by eating a piece of cake or something, right? I mean, how ridiculous would that be? You would have a hard time with that. You'd say, this is crazy. And this is what the people who are originally hearing this were dealing with. And what happened? The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now, do you see what Jesus does there when the Jews, quarreling among themselves, said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus didn't say, well, here's how it's going to happen. It's going to happen through these pieces of bread and this wine, which will be transformed into my flesh and blood. He didn't say that. What he said to them was, I'm going to just repeat myself, right? This is Jesus, and saying, this is absolutely necessary that you eat my body and drink my blood if you want to have eternal life. And I think there's a lesson that we can learn from this. All of this became clearer at the Last Supper. The idea of Jesus transforming ordinary bread into his body was made known, still difficult to believe, but made known at the Last Supper. But right now, Jesus didn't feel the need to explain how it was going to happen. He felt the need to explain that it was necessary to eat his body and drink his blood. And the lesson, I think, for us is that sometimes Jesus takes his time explaining himself. He doesn't always feel the need to give us all the details. Sometimes he just never gives us the details. And I think one of the reasons is because he wants to follow him and believe in him by faith and not by sight. And sometimes we do have to trust him. And I almost said blindly trust him, but once we get to know the character of Jesus, once we know who he is, once we understand how much he loves us and understand how powerful he is, it's not a matter of blind faith or blind trust. It's a matter of faith-filled trust. We're believing in Jesus not because we're taking a chance on him, but we're believing in him because of who he is, through faith. So again, it's not necessarily a blind trust, but in a way it is, or blind faith, because we don't know for sure. We can't see his flesh present in the Eucharist. We can't necessarily come up with a list of the benefits of receiving the Eucharist on a personal level. In other words, I received the Eucharist on Sunday, I would have committed 5 sins, I only committed 4. Well, that's due to the Eucharist. It's not like that. We can't look at it that way and find a direct correspondence between our holiness and the reception of the Eucharist. You might notice a change over time, but it's not necessarily a one-to-one trade-off. I receive Jesus one time, and therefore I lose X number of sins, or I have more motivation to become a better person. I mean, it's just not like that. So there is faith involved, both in believing that Jesus is fully present in the Eucharist, and also that the Eucharist is important. and it is necessary. And I'm going to encourage you today, as we look at these readings, I'm going to encourage you to ask for that grace to better appreciate the Eucharist. One thing about God that I have learned, and this really seems to be the case with Him, He responds to desire. So if you want to get to know Him better, if you want to understand better how much He loves us, if you want to better appreciate the Eucharist, for all of these things, if you go to Him with that desire and say, Lord, I really desire this, don't worry about getting the words right. You use your words. He's looking for your heart. He's not looking for your words. He always answers that prayer. Sometimes it happens gradually, but He does answer it. So I would encourage you today, I'm going to do the same, to ask for that grace to better appreciate the Eucharist. So much so that you're going to do everything in your power to receive it. Now, it's possible that you can't get out of your house. And certainly the church understands the value of a spiritual communion where you spiritually ask Jesus to enter into your soul because you can't get there physically. But prior to doing that, if you are homebound, can't get out of your house for whatever reason, and you really believe that the Eucharist is necessary to grow closer to Jesus and ultimately to make it to heaven, which pretty much is the message coming across from these readings, I would encourage you to call your parish and see if you can get someone to bring Holy Communion to you in your home. I mean, there are things we could do, but you see, it all stems from our desire to do this, to really do whatever it takes to either get to Mass as often as possible or to make sure we have the Eucharist brought to us. Our desire to do this stems from a belief that this is absolutely important, that I receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Because if we don't fully believe that, or if we're not passionate about the need to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, chances are we're not going to fight too hard to make it happen. I've seen this throughout my life as well. Until you really believe in something, the necessity of something, you're not going to fight to make sure you have it. And I do believe that this is one of the reasons that Jesus is speaking the words that we just read in the gospel today. He wants people to understand that it is important to receive Him in the Eucharist. Let's look at the first readings. The first reading now, Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. Now, when we look at this first reading from the book of Proverbs, we see a reference to food and wine, a reference which you could call a foreshadowing of Jesus in the Eucharist. Come eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. See, that eternal life message is bundled up right there. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. What would foolishness be? Foolishness would be a lack of appreciation for the necessity or the importance of the Eucharist. If we would somehow start to believe that, that would be a foolish belief because it's not true. The truth is the Eucharist is necessary for us. It's the way we're going to not only get to know Jesus, but be transformed into Him. It is critical to receive the Eucharist. And again, I remember what I said. It's possible you can't get out of the house. And so I would encourage you to try to do what you can to get somebody to bring you the Eucharist. However, if that's not possible, a spiritual communion is something you should really look into. And you could Google it online. There are a number of different good ones out there, but you can also just do it in your own words. Lord, I can't receive you in Holy Communion right now, but I really want to. I believe that receiving your body and blood is necessary for eternal life. I want that, Lord. Please come to me spiritually. Something like that would work. Again, in your own words. Because what the Lord's looking for is not a magic formula. He's looking for the desire of your heart. And if you want to receive him, especially when you can't receive him, and you make that known to him, he's going to do everything he can, which is everything because he's all powerful, to make sure that he does visit you and you do receive the graces that you would have otherwise received from actually partaking of the Eucharist at Mass. So the desire to receive Jesus is what matters. So make sure you know, and if you don't have the desire, this is something that St. Ignatius of Loyola talked about, and Pope Francis mentioned it as well. If you don't have the desire to receive Jesus in the Eucharist or to better understand the importance of the Eucharist, well, then pray for the desire to have the desire, right? You pray for everything. Boy, if only I cared more about receiving the Eucharist. How about this? Lord, please help me care more about receiving the Eucharist. I think so many times we try to depend on ourselves and our own power. We're not that powerful. We don't have any power. But the Lord has ultimate power. So whatever you need, ask him. Really important to do that. All right, the responsorial Psalm 34. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see. Again, that message of the meal, the eternal banquet. This is good stuff, the Eucharist. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord, and the lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And you see that message of desire of the poor one. That's someone who needs something, who doesn't have what he or she needs. And we don't have what it takes to make it through life and end up in heaven without the help of Jesus, mainly through the Eucharist. So what this responsorial psalm echoes, something that we were just talking about, is to have that desire. Reminds us to have that desire to receive what we need from the Lord. And what we need to grow closer to him, to literally be transformed into him, and to make it to heaven, is the grace that he gives us through the Eucharist. All right, let's look at the second reading now, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. And let's look for that Eucharistic connection here. Brothers and sisters, Paul writes, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity because the days are evil. Did you see that one connection I see right there? This ties back to the first reading. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Don't be foolish. Seek the food which will enable you to live, not just in this life, but eternally. Isn't that good? We see that same reference to foolishness that Paul talks about. Watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. Don't be foolish, wasting your time drinking wine and indulging in material pleasures. But instead, Paul writes, pray for that filling of the Holy Spirit. Singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. And essentially, this is what we do at Mass. Filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts. Remember, he's looking for our heart. He's not necessarily looking for the perfect words. Giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father, which is what we do at Holy Mass. And in fact, the Greek word that Eucharist is taken from means thanksgiving. So we give our thanks to God the Father and worship Him when we go to Mass. And what do we do at Mass? We praise God and receive Jesus in the Eucharist. So it all does tie in together. And as we draw to a close, we just have about a minute left. I pray that through the working of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue to let the Holy Spirit work on us with this, that you and I both will come to a greater appreciation of the Eucharist and how much we need Jesus in this great sacrament. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you better understand the importance of the Eucharist. All right, I'm going to have to run now. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Again, thank you for your donations. I very much need them at this point in time. I'm very grateful. If you'd like to donate to my ministry, you can go to followingthetruth.com and make a secure donation online. I also am grateful for the fact that you listen to this show and for your prayers. I'm going to be praying for you as well. And God willing, we're going to do it again next week. I look forward to that happening. In the meantime, have a fantastic week and keep asking for that desire to better appreciate the Eucharist. God bless.